Do you ever find yourself in a dilemma, beloved? A dilemma because there are many people who profess to know Jesus Christ, many people who belong to the church, who consider themselves Christians, and yet you look at their lives, and their lives are more like the people in the world. And you think, but they say that they belong to Jesus Christ. But they say that there was a day when they were saved. But it doesn't show. What is the answer to that dilemma? Can you know Christ and not live for Him? We'll talk about it today. I'm sitting in a boat that is a replica of the boats of Jesus' time. They found one. They uncovered it. One day the sea was so low that they found a boat. And when they excavated that boat so very carefully, they found that it dated back to the time of Jesus. So this is a replica of a boat like that time. I'm on the shores of the Galilee. We're studying Matthew chapter 13. Remember, the crowd was so great that Jesus got into a boat and pushed off just from the shore so that he could teach them. And he began to teach them in parables. Now, if you want to understand more about parables, then if you have a new inductive study Bible, back in the last portion of the Bible, in the appendix, there are a number of study helps. Study helps on the laws of composition, on similes and metaphors, but also on parables and allegories. A parable was a story that was told in order to make a point. It usually took something that was familiar from life that the audience or the people listening would understand, and then he took that story and he told that story to make a point. Whenever you study a parable, you have to see, okay, what was the occasion of that parable? What was it that prompted Jesus to tell that particular story? Well, remember now, Matthew is all about the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus, in this boat, is out from the shore teaching them parables about the kingdom of heaven. The first parable that he taught them was the parable of the sower of the seed. Mark chapter 4 gives us a little bit more detail into that parable. And I want us to go to Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4 in verse 13, he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables?" Now he's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to those that have understood that he is the Christ, the Messiah, and that are following him, that want to learn from him. And then he makes a statement, the sower sows the word. Now you can pick that up from studying Matthew chapter 13, but here he says it in such a concise way that you know when he's talking about the sower that goes out and sows the seed, and some falls on the road, and some falls among thorns, and some falls on rocky places, that he's talking about the word of God. So this is very important that you understand this. The sower sows, not a philosophy, not an idea, not a concept, but he is sowing the actual word. Whose word? The word of God. And then he goes on to explain it. So I want to read it this time from Mark chapter 4. It says, "These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them." So these people, they never professed to be Christians. They never professed. You hear the geese in the background. I want you to remember, I told you in the last program, there are geese at this place, and they act like sentinels, and they don't like it when strange things come by. Okay, and they let their voice be heard. Then it says in verse 16, "In a similar way, these are ones whom the seed was sown, the word was sown, on rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. In other words, they say they believe it. They say they're so happy to have it. These are people that make a profession of faith, if we were going to put it in our day. And then it says, and they have no firm root in themselves. Because it's on the rocks, the root did not go down, but are only temporary. So this is what you can understand. You will see some people in church, you will see, meet some people that have made a profession of faith that are so excited, but it's only temporary. It is only temporary. It is not the real thing. Do you understand? And it says, and they have no firm root. But when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. They cannot stand the heat. They cannot stand the fire. And Jesus says that if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. He lets us know right from the beginning that if we're going to be his disciple, then we are to deny ourselves. We are to take up our cross, which means an instrument of death, and we are to follow him. We are to keep on following him. So a true believer, and this is what you have to know, a true believer follows Jesus Christ despite the persecution, despite the affliction. And then in verse 18, it says, and others are the ones on whom the seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you hear music in the background? If you hear music in the background, this is what happens on the Sea of Galilee. And we do it ourselves. We come to the shore, we board a boat, and we go out on the sea, and there we worship God. There we sing chorus after chorus. There we have explained to us all about the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus' ministry took place. It's so wonderful. We would love to have you come to Israel with us. We go every year, and every year, only come if you want the Word of God, because I'm telling you, we sow the Word. It's not a sweet devotional. You open the book, you study the book, we explain it, and you grow immensely, and you'll never forget what you heard, what you saw, what you read, the atmosphere. Well, let's go back to the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. Now, I want you to understand, it's a deceitfulness of riches. We think riches are going to make us happy, and we are deceived, because happiness does not come from our circumstances. Happiness is something that's inside. It's a blessedness. And then he goes on to say, and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The desire for other things, the deceitfulness of riches, the worries of the world overtake us, and they choke the word. And so if you see people in the church who profess to know Jesus Christ and yet do not have time for the Word of God, do not want to study the Bible at all, you can know that they are not truly born again. They are not truly born again. They have made a profession, but they do not possess Jesus Christ. Then he says, and those on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, they hear the word. They have ears to hear, and they accept it. They not only just hear, but they accept it, and they bear fruit. Now, of all the descriptions here, what are the ones that have the true salvation? The ones that have the true salvation are those that bear fruit. There are some that will tell you otherwise, but it does not hold up with the whole counsel of God. It is not a profession. It is a possession. And when there is a possession of the Word of God, because it's alive, it will bear fruit. So this is how you know. This is how you know. It's the consistency of our life. It's not the immediate reaction to the gospel, but it is what happens over the years. That's the way you know. And so you see a genuineness in the perseverance and in the endurance, which we've talked about before. Now, Jesus is not through with his parables. In verse 24, it says, Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven. Now remember, we're marking parables and we're marking throughout the Gospel of Matthew every single reference to the kingdom of heaven. We want to know what the kingdom of heaven is all about. And obviously, as Jesus sat in this boat on the shore of the Galilee, he wanted them to understand what the kingdom of heaven is about. So the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while the men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. You see, wheat and tares, as they grow up, you can't distinguish the wheat from the tare. But when it comes time to bear fruit, then you can tell. It's the fruit that shows you the difference between a wheat and a tare. That's when it becomes evident. It says, the slaves of the landowner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? I thought you sowed good seed. Look at all those tares in your field." And he said to him, "An enemy has done this." And the slave said to him, "Do you want us to go out then and gather them up?" But he said, "No, for while you are gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. You have to be careful, because you may pull out the wheat. Allow both," this is very important, precious one, "allow both to grow together until the harvest." Allow both to grow together until the harvest. Allow the wheat, allow the tares to grow together until the time of harvest. He said, "I will say to the reapers, first, gather the tares." First, you want to mark it. It's a time phrase. "First, gather the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up. But gather the wheat into my barn." He presented another parable. Now, I want to stop right there just for a minute, and I want to review what we've heard because it's very important. There's wheat. There's tares. They're growing together. They say, "Let me pull out the tares." And he says, "No, because if you pull out the tares, you're liable to get some wheat. So let both grow together until the harvest." I want you to remember this because he's not going to explain it right away. Until the harvest. And then when the harvest comes, first, go out, get the tares, take them, and burn them up with fire. Gather the wheat and take the wheat and put it into my barn. What does he mean? We'll see in the next segment of the program. Hi, I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically. But I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation. It's not a luxury. It's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, "This trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together." So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying his word where it happened. It's precept upon precept, and it's parable upon parable in Matthew chapter 13. He presented another parable to them. Remember now, if you just found the program, I'm sitting on the shore of the Galilee in a boat that is made after a replica from a boat they found from ancient times that dates back to the time of Jesus. I'm sitting on the front of the boat about where Jesus probably would have sat telling these parables. Now, we just heard the parable of the wheat and tares, but he has not explained it. But he's going to, so hang on. But then he presents another parable to them, and you want to mark that. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all the other seeds. I take and put a mustard seed in my hand, and as you look at it, it is so teeny tiny. You wonder how anything could come from that. And surely if a plant came from that, it had to be a teeny tiny plant. But it's not a teeny tiny plant. It says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in the field. And this is smaller than all the other seeds. But when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Now, what is he trying to tell us here? I think he's trying to tell us is that the kingdom of heaven starts out very small. We work in 121 countries about, and we work in 67 languages. And in many countries where we are working, there is just comparatively a handful of believers there. But they're genuine believers. They're suffering for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many times they're suffering because of the persecution of the Muslims. And so they're faithful and they're hanging on. And yet what is going to happen is they are part of a larger kingdom. And it always interests me because when you go back and you look at the scriptures and you see that the birds of the air come and they nest in its branches, what you see is you see that they benefit from, they're benefiting from the fact of Christianity, because Christians are so different than the world. Christians are kind and they're compassionate. And I mean, the genuine ones, the ones where they're really receiving the word, not those that have a harsh religion without any kind of relationship with Jesus Christ. Remember the description of those who truly belong to the kingdom of heaven. Remember that they are gentle. Remember that they are merciful. Remember that they, when they suffer, they do not retaliate. So it makes them a whole different class of people. You look at the United States of America, you go back to the history of the founding of our country, and what do you see? You see that even those that did not believe in Jesus Christ are benefiting. If you haven't heard any other program, by the way, those are geese in the background, and we can't get rid of the geese, and they get upset when anything comes around them. So that's what's happening. All right, now, what we see is that the birds of the air can come and benefit from that. The United States of America has benefited greatly from the growth of Christianity in our country. Now we come to another parable. He spoke yet another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Now, what is leaven? Leaven is yeast, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour. She took her yeast, she hid it in 3 pecks of flour, and oh my goodness, that leaven was all over that flour. He's saying that it spreads. It spreads. And that's where you and I come in, beloved. We are commissioned to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are commissioned to take the truth, to take the word, and to sow the word, even if they do not listen, even if they do not pay attention. We're to do that. It says, then he left the crowds and he went into the house. And all the disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he says, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. And the field is the world. As for the good seed, these are sons of the kingdom. And the tares are the sons of the evil one. There are 2 categories of people in this world. There's the good seed and the bad seed. There's those that belong to the Son of Man, and there's those that belong to the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age. He's about to give you a marvelous, marvelous truth. And the reapers are angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. He's telling you what's going to happen. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Do you have ears? He says, I want you to understand that not everyone who says to him, it's just like Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. That's who's going to enter the kingdom of heaven, beloved. And so when you meet people and they profess to know Jesus Christ, but there's no evidence in their life, they are seeds of the evil one. They are tares growing up beside the wheat, looking like the wheat. But remember when he said, shall I pull out the tares? He says, no, because you're liable to get some wheat. You think you're getting someone who is not a Christian, and truly they are. And this is a warning to you. It's a warning to me. God is the harvester, not us. God is the harvester, and sometimes you may find a Christian, and they don't hold exactly the same doctrine that you do, so you're writing them off as a heretic. You're being mean to them. You're being cruel to them. He says, you be very careful, because you're liable to be pulling up a wheat instead of a tare. So you wait until the end of the age. At the end of the age, God's going to send his reapers. The angels are going to come. They know who the tares are, and they know who the wheat is. The tares are going to be gathered, and they are going to be burned. But the wheat is going into the barn. You know what? You're going to see something very similar to this when we get to Matthew chapter 24 and 25, because Matthew chapter 24 and 25 talks about the end of the age and when Christ comes and he sits on his glorious throne and he separates the sheep from the goats. You're going to see that there is a separation, that there is a division. But you and I have to remember that we are not God. We do not know the hearts of men. We can look at their deeds and we can warn them. We can warn them and say, look, you better check out your salvation. Because Paul does that in 2 Corinthians in the last chapter. He says, examine yourselves to see if you are really in the faith or not. Now, how do I examine myself? Look at the life. Look at what you produce. Look and see, is there fruit in your life? A tare does not have the same fruit that wheat has. And look and see if there's 30-fold or 60-fold or 100-fold in your life. Make sure that there is a coming to maturity and a bearing of fruit. So, beloved, know this. He wants you to understand. Now, there's more parables that we're going to look at. But what does he want you to understand today? He wants you to understand that the Word of God sown in the hearts of man always produces fruit, always produces fruit if it's good soil. If it's not good soil, there's no fruit. No fruit, no salvation.
Don't you want to see an America that honors God? What can we do about it? Well, he's told us in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that we're to invest in the next generation by diligently teaching them the Word of God.
My husband and I know that it's important that our kids be rooted and grounded in God's Word. One of the tools that we've discovered to do that was Precept Boot Camp, and that's why we sent our daughter Sydney last summer. Now Sydney is not only growing in her walk with the Lord because she's studying God's Word for herself, but she's leading others and sharing with them what she learns.
So what part can you play? Will you prayerfully consider in giving to this effort, in establishing young people in the United States to know God and to follow Him in His Word and make an impact on this generation.
Here on the shores of the Galilee, beloved, what is our precept for life? We've had parable upon parable. Now we've got precept upon precept. So what is the standard? What is this truth that you and I are to live by as we look at this parable? Well, I think that one of the things that we need to understand is there is an enemy. There is an evil one. And the evil one will come, so to speak, into God's field, into God's church, and he will plant tares there. Those tares will grow up. And you and I have to make sure that we do not look at other people's lives and make them our standard of measure. Precept has a plumb line as a standard of measure. It has that plumb line so that we can see what's true. And so many times what people do is they go to church, the pastor fails, the pastor falls, the pastor commits adultery, or the pastor steals, or the pastor is involved in all sorts of things that are not according to the Word of God. So some people sitting in the church will say this, well, if that's Christianity, then I'm out of here. And you have met person after person after person that at one time was going to church, at one time was interested in God, but then something happened with the pastor, something happened with the elder, something happened in the church, or a person in the church treated them meanly. They treated them cruelly. And because they treated them that way, then they said, then I'm not having anything more to do with church. That person, first of all, has failed in their own life. And because they have looked at another person. But what can you do to help them? You can take them to this parable. You can take them to the parable of the wheat and the tares. And you can sit down and say, let me explain to you. So that you understand that everybody that's sitting in church, even the people that are standing behind the pulpit, even the people that are governing the church, are not necessarily true believers. The enemy sows the tares, and the enemy sows the tares so that he wants to defeat you. The other thing that I've learned from this is that I need to be careful that I don't give my time to tares when God has wheat for me to work with. Well, those are two things for you to think about. Those are precepts that you can apply to your life. I'll see you in the next program.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.